This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Fans are on the edge of their seat. It's building. It's building. It's electric at the moment.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
There's the siren. Arms in the air. Sun has gone through. What are we seeing? Just incredible.
That's right, it's 9pm Wednesday and that means you're listening to GayFL, a queer footy show. I'm Chris.
And this is Brendan, part-time model, head cheerleader, homecoming queen.
That's Brendan with a B over there. Thanks for joining us on GayFL. We always love having you with us here. And Brendan, I must say, I'm still getting used to our new 9pm time slot. I kind of feel like I've snuck out after school.
Yeah, I know. I feel like we're like in a maybe earlies of Home and Away, like we're Bobby Simpson and we've snuck out at night. Maybe we'll meet some boys.
Oh, sorry. Ransom Kilda, you never know your luck.
I don't know if I want to meet those boys.
maybe not the Summer Bay boys. And look, shout out to Wellness Wednesday who are on before us, always delivering a really interesting show. We love hearing what they do every week. So we just want to backcall them. And also, if you missed it earlier, our friends on the Open Table, Craig had Tilly Lucas-Rod, an amazing player formerly of GWS, now with GWS, formerly of the Hawthorn Football Club.
Yeah, what a guest. And I think we're a little bit biased being, you know, for serious footy fans, but we were listening to that and it was such a great interview. So
it was. I don't know if we were biased. I think maybe we were jealous.
But no, a little bit of column A.
Definitely go check out that. It was a great episode, but we should probably get on to our episode. And Midsummer is wrapped. Can you believe it's over for another year?
I can't believe it. I feel like I just want to pinch myself. Every time it finishes, I'm sad. I'm depressed. I'm ready to rest. I'm just like all good bears. I'm going to hibernate for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think I need to like let my skin breathe from all that makeup and glitter I was wearing.
Yeah. But I think this Midsummer, like every year, it was a fantastic, fantastic Midsummer. We had a lot of fun. We did a lot of footy stuff.
Yeah. Actually, do you know what that was called? It's a beautiful segue. Nice one. Thank you. So not only, do you know what Midsummer means? I mentioned this last week. Midsummer ending means football season is starting. So hot gay boy summer is out of here.
Well, I mean, we can still do a hot gay boy summer over the footy season.
I can't speak Spanish. But yes, speaking of the football, we were down at the hangar this week.
We were down at the hangar. Well, this year Family Day didn't coincide with Taylor Swift, which it did the first maybe 2 years ago when we started the pod.
Yeah, thanks for that, Essendon.
Yeah, and thanks, Taylor. But it was great. It was a wonderful day. I always get excited going to Family Day. It was such a great turnout. It was beautiful day weather-wise. We both got a little bit of sun, a little bit. I don't tan, I just burn and I peel, so it's not ideal. But no, it was great. It was great seeing so many supporters getting around the club and ran into some really fun people. I mean, we ran into some royalty. Not every day you run into Kevin Sheedy.
He wasn't even supposed to be there. Bless Kevin Sheedy. He was at reception signing some merch for the club. And you actually walked up to him and was like, you know, a few premierships under your belt and you're still sitting on reception. I think he appreciated it. He was a real sweet. That was one, I must say, we've met a lot of people involved in football.
Yeah.
He actually surprised me how lovely he was.
Very personable. And I think it goes without saying what he's done for the game and what, especially what he did for inclusivity. Like he was a key figure behind inclusion, especially when it came to Indigenous players. He was so passionate about that.
He really was.
And it was meeting a legend. I was just, he was wonderful.
Yeah, that was wonderful. And we're going to talk about who else we ran into down there. We saw some of our friends from the club and we also saw some of the lovely staff at Essendon who are some of our friends at the club. But there's a special mention that I want to make because there were a few of the AFLW women there. Mm. And they weren't even necessarily needing to be there. They're on their off season, their summer blackout, and a few of them actually chose to come down and do some signatures and take some photos and do some meet and greets when they absolutely did not have to. And I just want to call that out because that really impressed me.
Yeah, that was really cool. I mean, they could have been off in Europe gallivanting around, but they chose to, you know, they chose to go in there and, you know, Hank spent some time with the fans, which was really cool. And it was just such an overall fun day. I mean, one of my favorite things about it was, you know, we always deck ourselves out when we go out, when we go, even when we go to the hangar, we want to look our best. And I was wearing an Essendon polo. This is a fun little in story for those listening. But I was wearing an Essendon polo shirt. And there was at some point somebody mistaken me for a staff member.
Yeah, I had a giggle at that too. I certainly didn't get mistaken. I'm not athletic enough to be a staff member.
No, I was like, I'm here enough, but I don't get paid for it.
And we had some wonderful, like we got to see our new captain, the man whose number I wear.
Your boyfriend, Mr. Andy McGrath himself.
He was so lovely.
So sweet. What a leader. What a lovely, like I have nothing but good things to say about him. Like, you know, we got up and we met him and he got out of his chair and he, you know, he took the time to have a little bit of a chat with us and really sweet. And I know what a special moment it was. I think one of my favorite moments was obviously, you know, we love Kyle. Oh, hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
We love Kyle. Like we always joke, if we weren't AFL, we'd be Kyle's gays. And Kyle had walked past us and he saw us. And we see him enough. I thought I'd let someone else spend some time with him. But unfortunately, well, not for unfortunately, but Kyle actually saw us hanging around. And he's like, I guess I'll see you guys later. So, you know, we went and said hello to him. We had to.
We had to get in his line next, obviously, for that reason. We missed out after that because they only did 2 hours of signings and we had a few things to do around the club. And we missed one that I wanted to see, which was Nick Martin. And really sweet of him. He, after doing a 2-hour meet and greet, he was walking through the crowd. Mm. He saw us. We said, hey, and got a photo with him. It was actually really nice of him to say, hey. But how, oh my God, every year the new recruits get younger.
They get younger and they, I was like, hello. Like some of these players are 18 years old. And I was like, hi, how's it going? Like, I didn't know what to say to them. Like, I'm much older than an 18-year-old, and I felt almost awkward.
I feel like I need to ask them about Olivia Rodrigo or something, like some Gen Z stuff.
Yeah, I'll just be like, what are you doing? How'd you go with your driver's license? But, you know, some of them are going for their licenses. Some of them lose it, you know, Bailey Smith.
You know, we throw a lot of shade at Essendon, but whoever, I don't remember his name, the new high-performance coach, he has got them hitting, they have got buff this year.
You know, we admire him so much, Nick Martin, but he, you know, he's pretty lean and he has bulked up.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them that have. It's actually really, really cool. And it was such a lovely day. And we have avoided thus far throwing shade about Essendon.
Well, really? Can we go an episode without saying something? Look,
no.
So I don't know about you, but I made a very interesting observation and I don't think I was alone in this observation. If anyone that's been to a family day at Essendon, you know, they have events, activations. It's really lovely. It's fantastic. Go get your photos of the Premiership Cup, which was really exciting. You know, we won't see that for a while. But that's not my shade. There's lots of tables, 1 to 14. And usually what they do is they put the most popular big names at the start.
The captain's always at one.
The captain's always at number one.
Yep.
Very interesting. I mean, Andy McGrath, our new captain, lovely guy. He was at number one. I couldn't help but notice, but former captain Zach Merritt, who was at number one last year, he wasn't number two or number three or table four. He was table 14. He was right at the end. And I am not sure. I don't have any insider knowledge. But it was quite interesting. But I will say his table seemed to be the most popular. Like it
I agree.
Lines.
He had the longest line all day, which was actually, you know, good for him. I feel like the club, you know, not saying everyone's forgiven and forgotten, but I think people are willing to welcome him back into the fold.
I'm just wanting to see what his performance is like.
His football will do the talking this year. I reserve judgment until, because Zach's always been lovely to us.
Yeah.
I reserve judgment until he gets on the field. If he delivers on the field, it's forgotten.
Yeah. And if he doesn't, then we'll judge him.
Yeah. And we'll shade him on air. Like, that's just what we do. But, you know, I actually, Family Day was amazing.
It was wonderful.
It was genuinely amazing. But I want to take a minor sidestep, if I may.
Go ahead.
Actually, before I do, I do also want to call out, in coming up in the next two breaks, we have a really interesting story for you. If you've been following it, it's the Kyneton Football Club, the women's football club. A lot of people are across this. If you're not, This will give you a good taster. And we just wanted to give everyone the opportunity. If you want to send a message of support for the Kyneton Football Club, the Kyneton Women's Football Club, text it in to 0427-JOY-949. And we will be very happy to hear from you. But that wasn't my sidestep.
No, it wasn't.
So this is a football show, and I guess this is kind of football adjacent. We have to talk about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, there's an amazing performance, and you can talk about that. Apparently, there's like
there's a football game at the Bad Bunny or something like
that. I don't know. I switched off after that. I don't know. Go team. Touchdown.
I don't even know who played.
The Chiefs. I don't know.
No, that was last year.
Oh, okay,
but we do know Bad Bunny played.
Bad Bunny played. What a performance!
Oh, that was one for the ages.
Definitely. Green Day was wonderful, and Belinda Carlisle was fantastic, but having Bad Bunny, and look, we try not to get too political on here, but I think there was a political statement there, and it was wonderful. And how good was it seeing Jessica Alba and Pedro Pascal, and we'd be remiss without mentioning the Queen herself.
Yeah, absolutely. Gaga. Mrs.
Lady Gaga herself there. Like, epic.
I really love that the NFL absolutely, and Bad Bunny in particular, really doubled down on this. They went, you know what, we're going to make this as non-Caucasian, as non-English speaking, as queer as possible. They had the guys grinding on each other. They had the queer trifecta with obviously Bad Bunny, Lady Gaga, and Ricky Martin.
Oh my God, how could I forget Ricky Martin?
I know.
That's how good the performance was. Like, I completely forgot Ricky was there.
It was so good that he shall not be named with the orange face in America watched the Bad Bunny instead of the show that they put on for him at his party.
I want to mention, though, like, how record-breaking that performance was. Bad Bunny's Super Bowl halftime show, it hit 128.2 million viewers.
Wow.
It's broken the NFL social media records. Like, just, I think it speaks for itself. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. And you know what else speaks for itself? I think we're going to let some ads speak for themselves real quick. We're going to play a song. We are having a very particular theme tonight, interviewing the Kyneton Women's Football Team. We are getting some girl music, some real bangers going on. So coming up after these messages will be Just a Girl, coming up soon on Joy 94.9.
Take this pink ribbon off my eyes, I'm exposed, it's no big surprise.
You're listening to Gay FL, a queer footy show with Brendan and Chris on Joy 94.9.
That's right. It's Gay FL with Brendan and Chris. And that was apparently No Doubt Live in Germany, just before. I can't say I've heard that version. Oh,
this is why I need to test our songs before we load them.
That was great. It was a nod to your German heritage.
Hey, unintentionally, I'm sorry for everyone that had to sit through that.
No, it was the after 9 o'clock version. Nobody wants to hear something really banging after 9. People are chilling. They're having their tea. They're just, look, that was completely intentional.
I'm going to dine out on that for weeks.
I love that.
Now, we promised you an interview, and this interview is definitely happening. We are about to go to it right now. We did mention it is with Natalie Karimski from the Kyneton Women's Football Club, which is a story you may well be across. I could tell you what it's about, but I'd rather let her do the speaking than myself. If you want to send a message of support to Natalie or the Kyneton Women's Football Club, 0427-JOY-949, or actually message on our new app. Let's hear from Natalie now.
So today we're joined by a club that's making history off the field as much as on it. The Kyneton Women's Football Club. Formed in late 2024 after more than 30 players and staff stood up against inequity, disrespect and unsafe conditions at their former club. This group chose to build something better. A club centred on safety, respect, inclusion and community for women and gender diverse players alike. The journey hasn't been easy. After breaking away to form their own identity, the club has faced league rejections and governance battles. Even being accepted into a competition for 2026 before that decision was appealed, a process that sparked wider conversations about gender inequity in grassroots footy. But through it all, the team have remained committed to one goal, creating a space where players can just play on their terms with dignity and pride. Gay FL is proud to be joined by the president of the KWFC Football Club, Natalie. Welcome. Welcome to Gay FL.
Thank you for having me.
Natalie, thanks so much for joining us. Now, We have people that listen to us from several different parts of Australia. So for anyone that doesn't know Kyneton, it's about an hour out of Melbourne. Can you talk us through what footy means, particularly grassroots footy in regional communities like yours?
Well, just a little bit about my story. I started playing when I was about 10 years old, and I was in that era of women where when you hit 13, you aged out and the game was no longer accessible to you. So I guess for the women in our team, AFL is just like, it's just this great sport that we finally get to play with agency and with freedom, and, you know, it really connects communities. And I think for the broader community, we know that AFL and sport in general is just like the center of those communities. They're the hub. They kind of keep communities together and connected, healthy. You know, it's all about keeping that well-being in at the center too. And I just think smaller towns like ours, they really do rely on sporting clubs to be, you know, doing really good things to ensure that the community is you know, going well in that community.
Thank you, because the cohesion and the community that it builds is not just around the actual players and the people on the ground. It's actually, for a lot of communities, a big part of the social and the fabric of the community itself. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. And I think one reason, like, our club has been able to stay together and, you know, be part of this journey, what we're on right now, is just because we are such a close-knit group. There's a group of people here that just, they really, they've bonded. They love their local town and, you know, they love football. So it's those three things, you know, their connection with each other and all those other elements that kind of has spurred them on to ensure they can play in their own right for our team and club. And yeah, I think, you know, that's a really amazing thing, and we only need more of that in our sporting world, I would say.
Absolutely. The club is founded on the core values of fairness, inclusion, diversity, and community. Why is it so important to this club in particular?
I think for us, when we broke away from, you know, the treatment we'd had previously, we decided that, you know, we didn't want to follow that roadmap. I mean, you know, we look at AFL in general and those systems that have been set up now. Those systems have been together for 150 years and they essentially just have been built by men for men. And, you know, that served a purpose at a certain point. But society's moved on. And I know personally that I want a society that's inclusive, that makes sure everyone's got a seat at the table, who's treated with respect and dignity. And our club is really based off those values to ensure that sport is accessible to every person, that it's a safe, respectful, enjoyable experience for everyone. And I guess we kind of saw the flaws of the system and we thought we can do this better, and that's what we're trying to do now.
That's fantastic. And, I'm sure to you, obviously, and, you know, even for people here in Melbourne, you know, this is a big issue. This is a big story, and I think it speaks to a broader issue. We had multiple people reach out to us asking us to speak with you, and we are so happy that you've taken the time. And I think there would be women across the country in local sport, particularly in local footy, that could potentially draw correlation or comparison to some of the things that you've experienced or talked about in your situation. Could you just, for anyone that has missed the story, take us through what led to the group splitting off?
So basically myself and there was a core group of people who have been at that club for years. I was there since the very beginning of when the women's team started. And, you know, there's been quite a few things over the years, but, you know, you hope that clubs progress and they get better. And I guess towards the end when we started to really see that, you know, the club wasn't shifting in its culture and the behaviour seemed to be, if anything, escalating, we just decided that it came to a point where there were a few moments that really just made us think we just can't stay here anymore. And one was really centred around the club's annual raffle. So we were playing in our second grand final. We won our first premiership in 2023 and then we were in the grand final for the 2024 series. And the club had their annual raffle. It's a huge raffle, but they scheduled it on the exact same time as we were playing in a grand final 15 minutes down the road. And for us, it just felt like, you know, we got some support the year before, But it still wasn't as much as the opposition. And we kind of told the club after that, hey, we really need you to come to the party here. It didn't look good for the competition, the opposition to have so many people. We didn't have really any. And then for them to do it a second year in a row, it just kind of, I think it broke the group. And then when we tried to kind of get to some resolution after that, we just, instead of like a way forward, there was just offensiveness and, you know, a no acknowledgement of kind of the hurt they had caused. And, yeah, basically after that we thought that there's no pathway forward here. We have to look at a different option.
We know just, you know, the club has submitted quite an extensive, detailed and specific document to all the bodies involved, detailing some of the incidents that, you know, did occur and the impact that it's had on the players. What, if you can elaborate, what has been the response like?
Well, there's kind of two parts to this. So we have given more of a briefing to government ministers around what we'd experienced at the club. And also Marnie Vinyl, who's a journalist, did a pretty extensive article and report on what we experienced as well. And also part of that experience is that we had to do we chose to do a review with AFL on our experience at the club too and what the breakdowns were that led to it so they could get some learnings moving forward. So part of those submissions just explained the inequity that we kind of received over many years, some of the issues around member behaviour and how we were treated, which included some pretty hostile and abusive messages. Also just coming into just like some of those really basic things, like you'd come into the change rooms and they're just disgusting. Like you wouldn't, you know, it's they're just so unhygienic. And the amount of times I just remember us asking the president or asking, you know, the committee, can we get a cleaner? Can we get something changed here? Like, we don't really want to have to be cleaning. What I wrote in one text message is blood and spit off the toilet. We think that's actually too much. You know, sometimes we'll suck it up and clean a few things, but when there's like spit with blood on it, I think that's when you draw a line in the sand and say, hey, this is actually not good enough. And, you know, sometimes they'd fix it for a couple of weeks, but then it would come back and we just be like, it's got to be a better way. This can't be the standard that we expect for women to deal with in sport continually.
Absolutely. And I mean, it doesn't really, I don't think you're asking for too much, you know, minimum usable, clean, safe facilities.
That's yeah, just and my we left them opinion. Tidy. Yeah, I know. And we left them we really took, you know, I felt in our team we had a really strong culture. We had really great leaders and they had a high expectation of themselves. And I guess that expectation was of the broader club too. So we'd always leave the rooms really tidy. You know, we kind of made sure our behaviour was up to a really high standard. And I guess we expected that of the club too, but they weren't always meeting that standard.
It kind of comes back to one of the values that you mentioned or that are mentioned on your Instagram page about, you know, fairness and respect, like that, about that being a, you know, a mutual thing. That I think that's obviously really important. And I think it's really important to point out this situation is not just one or two people that are feeling this inequity within the club. There were 30 people that I believe that split off with the Country Women's Football Club. And, you know, my understanding from your socials and other articles about you is that your club is not only has people, but it's viable and sustainable. And so what are the roadblocks that you're getting to actually getting this across, like over the line?
So essentially the first time around when the players voted to leave the Kyneton Football Netball Club, we thought we had a pathway to our local league and the cutoff dates just made it way too difficult. We essentially, after that, we kind of gave up on that year, which is the 2025 season, and we went and played down the road with a club called the Gisborne Football Netball Club, and we played as a hybrid team called Gisborne Kyneton United. We went through the season undefeated, and we won the premiership, and we had 17 of our players in that team for the year. Mm. Now, after that, we thought, okay, we've done this. It's been a really great relationship with Gizzy. But we want to do it in our own right. We've got so many players. Players are missing out also from their club and from our club. So it makes sense that this is like suited the moment, but we need to both move on. And so we made our application to our local league again to try and get in for the 2026 season, but it was rejected. There wasn't any stated reasons. So, you know, pending we didn't really get any reasons, we decided we'd go down the road to the Central Vic League. So it's a little further drive, but they're also a women's football league. So they kind of get what we're about. And they've got a really great reputation in inclusion and diversity too, which we love. So they accepted our application. They went through all their processes and it got through unanimously. But as part of that process, they notify all the other leagues in the region, and the old league appealed that. And that's kind of where we got the roadblock. So they appealed on a variety of reasons, and yeah, AFL upheld those reasons. And then we kind of were essentially locked out of being able to play in a league.
Thanks so much for going through that with us. And there's actually more coming up. We are going to go to a break really briefly to have some messages on our show. And we'll be returning with Natalie from the Kyneton Women's Football Club to talk more with GAFL, not only about what's happened, but about where to from here and how you can get behind the girls. Stay with us on GAFL.
You're listening to GAFL, a queer footy show with Chris and Brendan on Joy 94.9.
So welcome back to GAFL. So we are here with president of the Kyneton Women's Football Club, Natalie. Thank you for joining us, Natalie.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much, Natalie. Now, in the last break, we were touching base on what's happened so far, which we know is a story that has been going around for a little while, but there has actually been maybe some progress in the last 48 hours. Do you want to talk us through that meeting with the AFL?
Yeah, so basically I can't get into too much of it, but, you know, we ended up meeting with some of the AFL execs to try and talk about our situation. And, you know, it felt like it was a really positive meeting where there were some options kind of put on the table that we were workshopping. And our hope is that, you know, if we kind of go through some of these extra processes in the next week or so, that, you know, there might be a positive outcome here. So, yeah, we really appreciated their openness and willing to listen in that meeting. And with any luck, you know, there might be a really good outcome to this story.
Now, where does the club go from here?
Well, we are training as usual, so we're still in pre-season and we're training twice a week. You know, we've got a bit of a membership drive now. We've got our petition online and, you know, we're just operating as our usual sporting club. Like, nothing deters us. We're a real determined bunch of people, and our hope is that, you know, if we get a few of these things in place, there might be a good news story in, you know, a week or two's time. I'm not sure, like, the timelines, but We're just going to keep working with the AFL in a real positive way and hope we can get on the field for 2026.
That's certainly what we hope for as well. We love women's footy here at GAFL, and so do a lot of people that listen to us. And, you know, you mentioned the petition that you're going. So do you want to just give a little shout out to where people can get behind you? So the petition, your socials, anything like that?
Yeah, so we've hit about 9,000 signatures now, which is pretty amazing for a couple of weeks of it
over
being 9, out there.
000.
Yeah, it's just 10, full on. It just shows you that, you know, people care about this stuff, which is really lovely to kind of experience. So it is just change.org/letKWFCplay, and you can find it on our social media. So our Instagram page is at the Kyneton Women's Football Club, and it's there pinned in our posts and stuff. So get on there, give it a sign, and, you know, if you've got a little bit of extra change, you can buy some merch or buy a social membership and just get behind the club for 2026. It all kind of counts and really helps us.
Perfect. And as you mentioned there, that change petition is doing very well. Last time I checked, about an hour ago, it was over 9,100. So there's been it seems like there's been so overwhelming support, including from Premier herself, Jacinda Allen. She made a brief statement in support of the club. What does it mean to have, like, such overwhelming support from the community?
Well, I think it's to have it from Jacinda Allen has been just incredible. It came at a perfect time when, you know, we're really, you know, in the real trenches of our campaign here. and to get her backing and support. And we know she's a fantastic support of our communities and our diverse communities too, which, you know, our club very much represents. So to have her backing just meant the world, and it just reinforced that we're doing the right thing here and we're hopefully making change for the better for everyone who follows after us. So, yeah, it was fantastic to get that from her.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were very happy to add our signatures to those as well. We'll be sharing for anyone listening at home the change.org petition and also the Kyneton Women's Football Club socials on GAFL, both on our Facebook and Instagram. So if you didn't remember the name, look us up there and we'll be sharing it out. But, you know, there's obviously a lot that's happened. There's a lot still to happen. And, you know, we are certainly hoping for a good outcome because at the end of the day, this is a group of girls that want to play, or women that want to play football. They want to do it safely. They want to do it equitably. And they just want that right to participate. And we're big believers that football is the national game and it is for everyone. So, you know, take us through, you know, where does this go from here? And, you know, what does it mean to the girls to get this? And how far are you willing to go for it?
I think by now most people would recognise that we will put everything on the line for this. You know, it's been a really full-on journey. I'd be lying to say it hasn't. It's been incredibly exhausting and difficult. But at the same time, when you get out on that training track on a Monday or Wednesday and you see the joy in these people, in everyone's face, and just the connection and camaraderie, it gives you another burst of energy to keep going. And I think they all feel the same. They feel so so connected to each other, but also so resilient and galvanized to make sure we get what we deserve here. And that is the simple right to be able to play the game we love in a respectful and safe environment and as locally as possible too, right? Because the big part of our club is that we've got so many people in the community. We've got mums in the community. We've got people who, you know, have disabilities, you know, LGBTIQA+. You know, we want to make sure all those people have a seat at the table. They're treated with respect. And it's really, and our game is really accessible for them as well. So to remove all those barriers. And I think we are hopefully going to be a really great blueprint for clubs that come after us and also for clubs that are already existing to maybe make some improvements in those areas. I think that's only a good thing to keep sharing that message of what we're about. And, yeah, look, we hope that we get some good news in the next couple of weeks and we can be announcing that, you know, that we've got a game on or something and that everyone can come and cheer us on.
We certainly hope that too, and we're very excited to follow this story. We have been following it for a while and we will continue to follow it quite eagerly with the hope of the outcome that you're asking for and that the team are asking for. We are very grateful for you taking time out of your day to come and talk to us. And just a reminder, we'll be sharing that change.org petition as well as the socials for the Kyneton Women's Football Club on the GAFL socials. Give it a click, check them out. And if you want to send a message of support, I'm sure that would be appreciated too. Natalie, thank you so much for joining us here on GAFL.
Well, thank you so much for your time. It's been amazing.
So this is GAFL with Brendan and Chris, and you were just listening to Natalie Korinfsky, president of the Kyneton Women's Football Club, who was very generous to sit down and have a bit of a chat to us about the situation. And yeah, thank you, Natalie, for being so generous with your time.
It really was a wonderful chat and she spoke so well about the situation and it was so interesting hearing it straight from her as well. As we mentioned, we will be sharing the socials for the Kyneton Women's Football Club, including their change.org petition on the GAFL Facebook and Instagram a little bit later on. So if you don't know how to spell Kyneton, feel free to look it up there. You'll get the links through that you need. We will be back very shortly. We do have a couple more messages coming up. And don't forget, we have been talking about our theme for the night with our songs. You may have noticed from the songs we're playing, there's a bit of a message associated with our main story today. And we are going to Daya with Sit Still, Look Pretty.
You're listening to GAFL, a queer footy show with Brendan and Chris on Joy 94.9.
That's right. It's GAFL, a queer footy show with Brendan and Chris. And you were just listening to the president of the Kyneton Women's Football Club, Natalie Korinfsky.
And thanks again, Natalie, for joining us. And it was, as I said, it was really lovely hearing what you had to say. And thank you for being so candid. It was very much appreciated. But anyone who listens to our show knows what time it is. You know what time it is, don't you, Brendan?
No. Do you want to tell me?
It's time to take a look at Stars Around. Miss the latest off-field antics and hijinks? We've got it covered for you.
That's right. Stars Around. Look, mine aren't really exciting. I mean, there was a bit of UHC with the Essendon boys in their photo shoot. I had a bit of a laugh at that, but it was Essendon photo day a couple of weeks ago.
It sure was.
And the boys did their class photo. I always love seeing the class photos, not just Essendon's, but I love them seeing there. They're all like a bunch of schoolboys. But they're all sitting there, all proud. But I noticed a few comments on the Essendon team photo. I'm not the best person to pick out if I think someone's been photoshopped, but I'm not entirely sure if our former captain was actually there in the photo. There were whispers he didn't make photo day because he wasn't feeling well.
We did hear that.
I'm not entirely sure if Merritt was there on the day. I couldn't help but feel like maybe there was a bit of photoshopping him into the photo.
Ooh, controversial.
I feel like I'm bagging. I'm not.
No.
I love Merritt, you know, but I just, you know, yeah, it is what it is.
Not convinced he was really in the room.
No.
I have someone who was definitely in the room for my Stars Around. We don't often talk much about what's going on over in the West, so I thought I'd give a little bit of a Western Derby shout out for Stars Around this week. Look, anyone who knows the derbies, it doesn't matter what state you're in, aside from Victoria, really, where it's not as big a deal, but the hometown derbies are a big deal in the other states, particularly the real footy states, which WA is. And you may know that there is no love lost between West Coast and Fremantle. Someone played a delightful prank on Liam Ryan.
Yeah.
Recently, he was getting his hair cut and they went to put the cape, you know, the barber puts on so you don't get hair all over your outfit, and they threw a Fremantle cape and he saw it in the mirror and he was most displeased.
Look, that's fair.
That's fair. Yeah, I think that wouldn't go down well. So good on them for whoever did that. I have another one too that I genuinely, this made me giggle. So you mentioned it was photo day. I have, not a photo day, but a very, very similar one. Channel 7 are also doing their promos, you know, where they get their hero shots for their broadcasts and stuff, and they all look very serious. And Fly, who is Craig McRae, the Collingwood Football Club coach, if you don't know, his nickname is Fly. The song that he picked for his promo was Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Oh, my God.
Give it to me, baby.
He still looks pretty good.
Yeah, he's looking good for his age, old Fly. So I like a man that doesn't take himself too seriously. So I really did quite enjoy that. And Brendan, I have something. I didn't show you this. This wasn't on the run sheet, but I have a little surprise for you too.
It's time to look at the unintentionally homoerotic commentary made by our friends in the media with
UHC.
Oh, my God. You didn't tell me this was happening. You can't do this to me on air.
I'm pretty sure I said we weren't doing UHC again until the season proper came back because we'd exhausted all our 2025. But, you know, I say a lot of things and not all of them are true, to be honest.
Well, it sounds like the teams are off to a flaming start.
But no, this is not a full segment of UHC. There is just an honourable mention that came up in my socials on the train home tonight. And this is a quote accredited to David King, so very, very renowned sports journalist. He's talking about track, Christian Petrarca, who you know we always love an excuse to talk about. And the direct quote he used to describe track was, and I quote, a pump and dump merchant, end quote.
Look,
how was that considered acceptable?
I think have some respect on track's name. I am ready to go to bat for that man.
When that came in my van, the best bit was he followed it up with a comment talking about his time with ball in hand being less than 35 seconds.
Oh, my God. You can't make that up. Oh, my God. I would describe him many things, but I don't know if I'd... I don't think I'd describe track as a pump and dump. He, to be quite honest, he looks like he'd be a bit of a catalogue.
I don't think I'd describe anyone as that. Especially not in football.
God, not someone you respect at least.
I'm sorry. You know I like to giggle like a teenage boy, and that one, I laughed out loud on the train and people looked at me, but it was it genuinely made my day. But I must say, this episode has been fun, Brendan. It's been a pleasure, as always.
I'm your new host, Blendon.
I think it's past my bedtime. So I think on that note, we do need to love you and leave you and sign off. And thank you for listening to GayFL, a queer footy show, once again with Chris and Brendan. Thank you to Natalie from the Kyneton Football Club for joining us, as always. And we will be back next week at 9 p.m. on Wednesday. What we're doing, we'll make it up at the time. See you then.
See you then. Bye.
Thanks for listening to GayFL with Brendan and Chris.
For more queer footy content, find us on all your favourite podcast platforms at GayFL, a queer footy show.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.